your axes, God. We say, God, would you come and do in each one of us whichever you want to do, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Awesome. Find your seats. Yo, how sweet was that time in worship, eh? It almost feels difficult to stop. But at the end of worship, Miles actually shared a word of where we felt like there was a drain that's blocked, and our God wants to come unblock that. And we really felt like right now, as we've got Dimitri with us, and he's gonna share that God actually wants to use the word that he gave to Dimitri to come and unblock things in our lives. So I think for me, I'm super encouraged with that.
You wish. But it's one of the humorous, I mean, I'm as English as they come, but all of my kids have gone through Afrikaans school, and they're quite bilingual. So maybe my kids, but blessing to be with you guys. So my wife, Karen, my youngest, eldest daughter, Chloe, two others, Shala and Daniela, are at home. The whole family actually wanted to come tonight. And I said, practically, they're doing varsity, they've got everything, but they so enjoyed the previous time when we were together and here. I just love being here. It's wonderful. And, you know, so often you can't spot what God is actually doing in your own midst. So easy to look at another church and go, wow, that was awesome. But, like, for us, being here is awesome. And there is something wonderful about the Lord's presence, where the Lord's presence abides, where it rests. Remember where the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle went, and then when the Lord wanted them to stop, that fire, the cloud, would just stop in the wilderness, and they would know, okay, camp here. God's presence was there, and that's what I feel for you guys. God's presence is here. You guys are awesome. I don't know, like, why you're awesome, but you just are. I just feel it. And, we'll figure it out sometime. But if you have your Bibles here, won't you open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the great scriptures, and I'm talking about how to discover and how to develop your spiritual gifts. And we always realize that as we open up the Word, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, that the Word opens the door for the blessing. And blessed are those who hear. And as you hear the word, it's producing faith in your heart to be able to take from the Lord, to be able to draw, to be able to receive. And in the prayer time, that word, from John chapter 4, if you knew who was asked, who it is, who is asking, you would have asked of him, he would have given you living water. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus is here tonight and to bless and to build. Two thoughts before we go into this passage. The first is that God gives gifts to you and to me because he loves you. He loves you. He cares for you. And, you know, if you love someone, you like to give them gifts, don't you? Little jewels for our wives. And the scripture is James 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The Lord never changes, and everything good comes from above. And just think, doesn't that apply to the gifts of the Spirit? When the disciples, when they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, came that wind from heaven came and filled the place where they were. So God is the source of the gifts. The motivation is his love for you and me. And God gives what is precious to you and to me. And secondly, God gives us the gifts to glorify Jesus. John 14, verse 12 and 13, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." This is a faith-stretching promise, isn't it? Does this stretch your faith just a little bit? I mean, the works that Jesus did, we will also do. And what is the purpose? To glorify the Lord. And so this is a good tester, by the way, of any gifts that the Lord pours into our life. That, like, we don't want to profane any gift by making it about us. We want to ensure that everything that we do in his name is for his glory, for his honor. And tonight is really, as we look at these gifts, it's about unlocking, taking hold of what God has already placed in you. Every one of you here who are in Christ have a gift of the Spirit that God has given you in his love to glorify Jesus, that you can move in power and be able to use that gift to bless those around you. A church that exercises the gifts of the Spirit in the love of the Spirit is a very blessed place to be. It's where God is. Two dangers to watch out for. The one is operating out of your gifts. So trying to do something that you're not graced or not gifted to do. That's one danger in the church. And, you know, I was looking at the worship team here. And if I had to go pick up any one of those instruments and start playing to you, you would understand he's not graced for that. And I wouldn't be blessing you. So the moment you and I try to step out of our gift zone, we're just going to be a weak imitation. So never look at someone else's gift and think, okay, I want, but God hasn't gifted you for that, so don't try to do what they're doing. Look for what God has uniquely deposited in you and use that. And then secondly, using the gifts for your own advantage. Again, we see that in Scripture, and that is something, again, it's for his glory, for his honor. But God wants you tonight to give you faith, to be able to tap in, to be able to see. And as we talk about these different gifts, perhaps, and let's trust the Lord tonight that God would put his finger on certain gifts and say, that's your gift. This is, oh, I see this in her. I see this in him. I always think it's better to look at the gifts and try to sense the gifts in one another. And this is a neat thing even to do in your community groups, as I think you guys are already kind of going into that direction. Something odd has happened to me this past month, and I've never done this before. I don't know why, but almost a month ago, I got my new phone on the contract. And I put it in a drawer, meaning to, like, the next day to open it and set it up and transfer my data over and start using my new phone. And every day I've been too busy, I've been occupied, other things going on. And I just realized this morning, I was like, oh my word, I think I've had this phone for nearly a month, still in a drawer, still in its package, it's got the wrapping, the plastic wrapping over it. And, you know, when I thought about it, I'm like, that is like so many of us with the gifts. It's yours, you have it, but you're not opening it, you're not using it, you're not turning it on. And we need the faith in the Lord to be able to turn on to these things. I want to give you the list of the gifts, and you'll see up on the screen there the two main scriptures that really give us the list of gifts, or Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. And you can see there in Romans 12, prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. In 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read this passage, and it's quite the way that Paul says. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant of the gifts. Paul wants us to know and to understand. Now, what is amazing here is when Paul starts in 1 Corinthians 12, in the introductory part, and he's talking to this church in Corinth, he says to them, you guys are coming short in no gift. You've got all the gifts. But here, Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of them. The picture I got when I was reading this was of a toolbox. And they're all the tools there, every single tool, perhaps some power tools, the circular saw, the jigsaw, the lathe, whatever it might be there. But just think, to use those, you can have all the gifts. You can have a garage that's kitted out with all the power tools, but you don't know how to use them. So the church in Corinth had all the gifts, but they didn't know how to use them. And the Lord today, as we are going through this, I'm trusting for revelation through His Holy Spirit to unlock these things for you. And so in verse 7, it says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, for the church, for the building up, the common good. For to one is given, now here he's mentioning them, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, to another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another, faith, by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing, by one Spirit, to another, the working of miracles. These are all things, works that Jesus did. To another, prophecy. So just think of Jesus, the ability to distinguish between spirits, and another, various kinds of tongues, and another, interpretation of tongues. Now notice verse 11 says, and all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he will. So picture yourself, you're sitting at the dinner table and the cake is brought out and it's cut in those little triangular pieces and you put your plates out and there's yours, and notice when you're a good, we're the woman, the good hostesses, as you count and you go, how many people at the table? Do you do that? And then you, okay, how many slices must I cut? So everyone gets a slice. And that is what God does as He distributes the gifts. You've got your slice. I've got my slice. We all got our slices. Amen? Is this good so far? Okay. And it's one Spirit, God's Spirit, who loves you, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So there you've got all those gifts that God pours out upon us. Now, as we believe that what we read about here is what is true for them is true for you and for me, all the gifts are in all the church. God's gifts are there. They can be dormant if they're not exercised. And as we're going to look at them, you're going to notice that there are what we call gift groups. And it's good to consider that that there are those gifts that are, you could call them a brother and sister kind of gift. They're related to each other. They are commonalities. And we're going to look at them first as there are speaking gifts. Those, that first group we're going to look at, teaching, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation over there. Those are speaking gifts. And then there are seeing gifts, gifts where God gives special insights to believers, wisdom, knowledge, discernment. We'll look at that in a moment. And we're going to go through these four groups and then sign gifts, faith, miracles, and healings. Those are related to each other. And then fourthly, serving gifts, helping, administrating, serving, and giving. And you will, as we look at these in these different gift groups, you will understand that gifts inspire gifts. Gifts encourage gifts. And I don't know if you like me, but when I was a young Christian committing my life to the Lord, seeing the gifts in other believers inspired me to exercise my gifts. And this is why leaders can be so effective, because as they exercise their gifts, they can also call out gifts in other believers. That was how Timothy could step into what God had for him because of Paul. Paul said, Timothy, remember, fan into flame the gift which is in you, which you received through the laying on of my hands. And so it's really important. We're the comm leaders here tonight. Comm leaders, good. Okay? It's really important that you are acknowledging those specific gifts that God has placed into his church, into that little group that you are ministering to. Be able to pray into that, encourage. Now, looking at that first group, the speaking gifts. Now, that is teaching, prophecy, tongues, and interpreting those tongues. Now, let's go through them. Teaching, the gift of teaching, it's a spiritual gift. It's a gift by which a person, a believer, is able to open up God's word, to be able to bring it into the hearts and lives of people. I used to think, when I was ignorant, that if somebody, a Christian, was a good school teacher, he could be a good preacher. And I discovered after a while, no, it's not that. Because you can have a natural gift of teaching, but not a supernatural gift of teaching. The effect that Jesus had when he would open up the word, that people would press so hard against him that at times you feel like he's almost being crushed because he was speaking right into the lives of people. That anointing, Jesus said, what I do, you will also do. He gives that gift of teaching. And then the gift of prophecy. Beautiful gift. I don't think I need to really talk much on that. I think you guys are really so in tune. And when God gives prophetic words, and there is a point on it, oftentimes, and I think prophecy is an important gift to unlock spiritual gifts in other believers. When someone can say, I really feel a sense that God has got something on you for this, and it unlocks something. I tell the story, but how did I get into ministry? I started out Christian Surfers. It was my first Christian organization I was part of. I went into the leadership, and that was my ministry till Cara and I had met, and then we got married. Then I went to Bible school, but I never wanted to become a pastor, church planter, anything like that. And I had a couple of little scars, been through a church split that was very, like, quite sore. And I just really distanced myself from that. And I remember one year traveling. I was doing Christian Surfers work. It was like a global around the world thing. And I was in California. And we were driving somewhere. And the person I was with, he said, you know what? There's this pastor's conference. And if we go out there, it's close to San Diego, and if we go there, maybe we can just kind of crash it and go, you know, just see what's going on there. And it was part of the church group he was with. And in that meeting, I'm sitting there, totally don't know nobody, and sitting there, and at the end, he says, hey, just come to the front. I want to introduce you. And he introduces me. There was this group of pastors, leaders in this movement that were talking, and they turned to me and he said, this is Dimitri, he's from Cape Town, South Africa. And they started praying, and one guy immediately started praying for the church that Dimitri is going to plant in Cape Town. And I'm listening to this, I'm going, are you nuts? Where did you get that from? What are you smoking? And this pastor, his name was Ricky, he prophesied a church. And it took years. And even in fact, when I went to Bible college, I didn't go there to be a church planter or pastor. I just went there because I wanted to learn the Bible. That's all. And I was with my babe. We got married. And Karen eventually one day, she comes to me at Bible college. This was the second year. And she's like, do you know we need to go and plant a church in Cape Town? I'm like, ka-ching. I know that. But God was calling it out prophetically even when I was not feeling it. So that is the gift of prophecy. Tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. The tongues is that gift, and it's a very unique gift. It's a gift that the person who speaks in a tongue really edifies themselves and builds yourself up. You can use it in your worship, in your prayers, on your own. You can. The Bible speaks about sharing a tongue, interpreting, and that's the gift of interpretation of those tongues. My wife has the gift of interpreting tongues. Last year, we were at one of the elders' times in Pinehurst, and a woman was sharing a certain kind of tongue. And then they called for an interpretation. But Corin didn't go forward to interpret, but she spoke into me, and she said, the woman is speaking Spanish, and this and this and this is what she's saying. And Mornay, who was there, said, if anyone wants to kind of interpret, and someone came forward, one of the elders, and he interpreted, this is what I feel the Lord is saying, and spot on. It was exactly what Corin had whispered into my ear. Now, tongues, when you see the other gift, interpretation, listen, it's not translation, it's interpretation. There's a difference over there. Think about that. Two people can interpret one tongue, and they can come up with different interpretations, but it can line up. So just realize that. And then when you are speaking in a tongue, like an interpretation, because it says you're speaking to God. So an interpretation of a tongue is not my people hear what the Lord is saying to his church. No, it's not God speaking to man, it's man speaking to God. Prophecy is man, is God speaking to man. Tongues is man speaking to God, addressing God. When on Pentecost, they heard them speaking their languages, the wonderful works of God. They were praising, they were worshiping. That was the speaking gifts they were exercising. How many of you, either you have one of those gifts in that group, or you are desiring, the Bible says, desire the gifts. Just raise your hand, and may the Lord just bless you and anoint you in that. And realize that if you are in this category or aspiring, what is the main instrument of you that God is using? Your mouth. And realize that if God is going to use this little part of you, buddy, you better make sure it's a pure mouth. Okay? Sanctify. When Isaiah the prophet, before he began his prophecies, he had an encounter with God where he became aware and he said, I'm a man of sinful lips. And God sent an angel to come with a hot coal from the altar to touch his lips and say, see, your sin is atoned for. That qualified him for the rest of the 66 chapters of Isaiah, that he could speak powerfully and mightily. When your mouth is sanctified, set apart, the things that come out of your mouth are pure before the Lord, you will be powerful. Like the prophet Isaiah, just think of that. Secondly, the sign gifts. Now, these are the ones that everyone wants. Amen? Faith, miracles, and healings. How many of you have ever experienced a miracle or a healing in your life? Okay, most of you. How many of you, you either have one of these gifts or you are desiring one of these gifts? Okay, praise the Lord. It's good that the church, listen, faith takes hold of, we desire. Faith, the gift of faith. What is the gift of faith? We all need faith to get saved, but there is another kind of faith, a faith that sees God move in the impossible. And how many of you believe that word that the angel Gabriel, when he told Mary, you're going to have a baby and his name's going to be Jesus, she said, how can it be? I'm a virgin. And the angel says, this is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to come over you, overshadow you, and you will conceive in a womb. For with God, nothing is impossible. Do you believe that? Now, there are some of you who, yes, God, nothing is impossible, but there are some of you who are so thoroughly convinced that nothing is impossible. God can do anything. He can bring water out of a rock. You know, if we're in the middle of the desert, God can make it rain. God can do anything. That is the gift of faith at work. Faith is a super confidence in God. I love being around people with this gift. It just, you know, yeah, God can do it. God's amazing. It's having a super confidence in God and in his promises, the word, where you just take hold of that. My eldest daughter, Shiloh, I was, as a surfer, I made a point of, you know, coaching all my girls, getting them on boards and getting them surfing. And when my firstborn, Shiloh, she was young, and I was training her and catching waves, and then she was watching me surfing and everything. And she had gone home, and she got a piece of paper, and she drew a picture, her best picture of me surfing. And she writes, Dad, the world's best surfer. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Shiloh. I still got that in my cupboard, by the way. And I'm like, my kid, I'm not the world's best surfer. You know, there's Ivan, you know. And I was just like, you know. But in her eyes, her daddy was the best. And when you've got that gift of faith, your dad in heaven can do anything. He's the best. Now, when you got that gift of faith in the church, guess what's going to pop up next to it, like mushrooms? Miracles and healings. Because faith creates the atmosphere for those other gifts to grow. You see how they work in groups. And this is why I will encourage you, if you've got the gift of faith and you're sitting on that gift, but you're not using it, because people of faith are people of prayer. And if you are not exercising your gift of faith, you can be suppressing the gift of miracles and the gift of healings in some other believer. Because remember, it's these kind of things spread. It's the body working together. The gift of miracles, which really goes against nature. You know, nature has its own rules, gravity and all these other things. How did Elisha, you know, when he that axe head that fell into the water, how did he make it float? How many of you have heard of Brother Andrew, God smuggler, going into and crossing a border into communist Russia where it was illegal to bring Bibles in, and he packs that little Volkswagen Beetle full of Bibles. He gets to the sentry, the border crossing. He says, Lord Jesus, in the gospel, you made blind eyes see. Now I pray, will you make seeing eyes blind? And they go and they look around, and all through his car boxes of Bibles, and they say, go through. You see, that's miracles. Miracles. Our God can do that. By the way, I had the opportunity to, Brother Andrew has died, but years ago I had the opportunity to meet with him and talk with him. You could feel the faith in him. And this really leads us into healings. Healings. These are, again, the awesome power of God. And years ago, we had the opportunity, and the Bible says, when someone is sick, call the elders, let them anoint with oil, pray, lay hands in the name of the Lord, that sick person. And I like this. It says, is anyone sick? Is anyone sick? Okay. What do? Well, I call the doctor. I make an appointment. Well, why don't you change that? Why don't you call the elders? And he says, call the elders, let them anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. You know, once we had a situation in our church in Cape Town where a woman with a severe heart defect who was going to Christian Barnard to have open heart surgery, where we as the elders got around, and she had all these examinations, and they'd scheduled her for the Monday morning. And on the Sunday morning, we said, let's pray. We called around, prayed, and she went into a hospital to have this open heart surgery, and she was super nervous because they told her and her family, listen, there's a chance you can die. There's a chance you won't pull through. She got nervous, so she asked us to pray. And we did that, anointed her oil. Monday morning, she went into a hospital, and 12 o'clock, I'm like, what's going on? I haven't heard anything. Phone her husband, and her husband, I can't believe he didn't talk to us, but he says, no. She went in, and they said, let's just do one more little test, and we're going to do the scope and everything, and they did one more, and suddenly everything ground to a halt. They said, no, there's nothing wrong here. They were flabbergasted. They couldn't explain it. The power of God, that gift of healing is here tonight. It's right here. And just pray for the sick. And then the seeing gifts. That's, if you think of the other sign gifts, seeing gifts, I guess where God gives us special, deeper insight. Wisdom, the gift of wisdom is usually where God can give good counsel, where one of you can sense there's a problem here and this is what we should do. Acts chapter 6, where there was this first big tension in the early church, and the widows, some are getting overlooked, some aren't getting cared for and provided for, and the apostles, Peter and the apostles say, let's get together and let's put together 7 men full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom that we can appoint over this business. And gave the list of Philip and Prochnor and Stephen. And they appoint these men with the gift of wisdom. They discerned in their church, these are the men who have the gift of wisdom. And they did that work. Knowledge. The gift of knowledge is when you speak, like God gives you a word for someone, where you can speak into their life and maybe you don't even have to know that person, but God can just reveal something. And with this gift of knowledge, there are specific gifts. I don't think, you know, we really plumb the depth of these things, but my wife, Corin, has an amazing ability when anything is lost in our house. Mom, Corin, like, where's this? And once we had lost our house keys, we couldn't find them anywhere. And Corin's like, go look in the bin. And we, this bin was full of, like, you know, it was the kitchen bin. And we start pulling apart. There in the middle of all the ugh was the keys. How did they get there? We don't know. But you see, it's that ability to kind of, and it's natural, it's not an effort. Like, I've tried that. God, where is that? Where is it? Doesn't work for me. It works for her. So use that gift. You can help people with it. And then discernment. The gift of discernment, discerning of spirits, to realize that as much as there's a true spirit, there's also a false spirit. And the Bible says that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light so that it can be really difficult for us to discern what's true and what's not true. Now, that's an important gift. And when you are exercising it, you can send Dylan a message and go, hey, I saw this person came to church. I had a really unchecked, like weird feeling in my spirit about this. There was something a bit off, and he can look into it. See, the gifts work together. Doesn't mean you've got to walk up to that person and say, oh, I sense something really weird in you. Kind of, no. Work with the gifts, okay? So, remember that. And these gifts are powerful. And what I would caution you is if you've got one of these gifts here, beware of pride. Because pride can pollute any gift and make it self-focused. And you think you're the power of God for the hour and everything. And just realize with those gifts, when God gives a lot, he expects a lot. Amen? The last set is the serving gifts, those gifts of service. And these are what I would call the angelic gifts, because you are a blessing in your church like an angel. Helping, administrating, serving, and giving. Those are all the serving gifts. How many of you have a gift in this area or you're desiring to? Okay? Do you guys know? Just keep your hands up. Do you know that this church cannot function without you? Do you know that? Okay? It takes a lot more than a preaching gift or leadership gift for a church to happen. And so really, this gift here is, this is super powerful. The helping gift, think of the Good Samaritan when Jesus told that parable, a man that had fallen among thieves, a priest walks by and a Levite, they just walk on the other side, they don't care. And this Good Samaritan, he sees that man in that predicament, he's moved with compassion. Now, that word, moved with compassion, it's a very, because we read that of Jesus too, that Jesus, when he saw the people, was moved with compassion. Do you know that I've noticed that people who have these gifts, there's a compassion. Now, what that literally means in the literal Greek, moved with compassion, is it means like a churning on your insides. Like when you see someone that's in a predicament or you see a need in the church that's not being met, you feel that, ooh. You've got one of these gifts here. And the gift of help says, I can't just look at you in your state. I've got to do something for you. So what does the Good Samaritan do? He takes that man, dresses his wounds, rubs them, cleans them, puts him on his horse, and then takes him to the inn, and he pays the money. He says, yeah, look after this man until he's well. That's the gift of healing. Administration, organizing. Again, we need that in the church. We must encourage that gift. Serving. Now, the word deacon is related to this gift of serving, diakonai. So that's where we get the word deacon. So we want to make sure when we do appoint deacons that they have the gift of serving, because that's going to make them effective. And then giving. The gift of giving is it's something that, again, you might think naturally. You would think, okay, because if I've got the gift of giving, that means I need to have a lot of money. No, doesn't mean that. It means you've got a lot of generosity. The widow had 2 coins. That was all she had, but she gave it. She had the gift of giving. And the blessing of, remember, when you are giving to the Lord, the Bible says, give and it will be given back to you. So if you've got the gift of giving, you can actually become quite rich. Not to put an evil thought in your mind, but just realize that God keeps, because he wants you to continue exercising that gift. So the more you exercise, the more he's going to put back in you to be able to do more in that area. And so that is a real wonderful gift. In Romans chapter 16, do you know that Paul mentions the names of 30 other believers in that gift, and he says, this one, this one, this one, this one, and he mentions, you can look in the last chapter of Romans, and he's talking, and he says, these are my fellow workers. Paul had a team of serving gifts around him. I'm pointing that out to you, because sometimes we can overlook these gifts. Can I say that again? Paul had a team of serving gifts around him. He wasn't a one-man apostle that I can do it all. I'm a Swiss Army knife, you know, whatever you need, I can do. Nope. Paul knew he needed serving gifts around him, and so do we. So those are real key areas, and I say this, and I mentioned it in the AM, is caution church leadership with your serving gifts. You steward them well. You look after them well because they're prone to burnout. You can. There's two problems with a serving gift. You can either overlook him or her, or you can overwork him or overwork her because they do so much and it's just their heart to do. So realize, like with these gifts, we need to care for them and look after them well. Well, that's all the gifts there. And there are others, but these broad ones. And again, which gift are you? It's really important to acknowledge and to be able to draw from these and know that God has given you something. Think of my phone. It's still there in its wrapper. I need to open it. I need to take it out. I need to turn it on. The Bible says that God has apportioned to each one a spiritual gift. The Lord put something on Corinne's heart, a picture. And I just asked her, she said, I'll share. I said, no, you share it. But it just to illustrate a little bit, you want to share, honey? When I say picture, I mean a literal picture.
Don't change them yet. Evening, church. You know, something with the spiritual gifts, as Dimitri was saying right at the beginning, of how we'll look at someone's natural ability and go, oh, well, because they can teach, or because maybe they're a singer out in the world or a musician in the world, well, automatically that would be a gift for the church. But yet again, noting that it's not a physical gift, it is a spiritual gift that does work with our natural abilities. And when we were talking about this in 2 weeks ago, the thought came to me of Samson. You all know the story of him in the Bible. I want the first picture, the big one. So we all know this Bible character. His name is Samson. Because obviously, what do we know about him? What was his trait in his feature? It's very strong, okay? Don't worry, I'll change the picture quickly. It won't be a stumbling block, okay? And so the thing with Samson is that, but let me ask you a question. If this is what Samson looked like, why did Delilah have to beg him to tell them the secret of his strength? Because surely if this gentleman walked into our church, we would all ask him to move all the chairs, because we can look at him and go, well, we know why you're strong. So remember, this was a spiritual gift. And that more likely, if you would flick to the next slide, is this is what Samson looked like. Because no one would look at this man and go, you're all powerful. And that's why Delilah, in begging, said, tell me your strength. Tell me, what's the secret? What's the secret? Because it was the power of God within him. And that is the same for each of us with the spiritual gifts. It's not a physical thing that people can look and go, oh, yes, I can see you're good at that. But you go, wow, it's the power of God upon you to enable you to fulfill the calling. And that power within Samson obviously had to be stewarded well. And sadly, we know Samson didn't always steward his gift well. But there was a time right at the end of his life he did steward it well, and that's what's so important about a teaching like this is, how do we steward well and not waste what God has given to us for his glory?
Yes, thank you. And I think one of, whenever talking of spiritual gifts in the past, they're always, every time, believers who are like, I don't know, will you pray for me? I don't know what my gift is. And I believe your heart is right, is I want to know what my gift is. I desire to know that. And if that's you, just lift your hand up because, yeah, we want to pray. We want to minister. I want to know what my gift is. And there are others that I feel I do know my gift, but I feel it's been dormant. Yeah? Anyone? Okay, good. Wonderful. And here's one thing, and this came to me last week, and it just, again, it's a picture, a literal picture, but you guys know, can you pull up that Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, when the tongues of fire came, and sat upon their heads. This became a little revelation to me, because when you consider there were the apostles, the Bible says like 120 believers that were there on the day of Pentecost, the tongues of fire came and sat upon each one of them. And I thought about this. Do you know that unless they had a mirror, that they could see the tongues of fire in everyone else's head, but not their own? You see, when you consider the gifts of the Spirit, it's like those tongues of fire. Is you can far easier notice it. Just imagine in the room, there Peter standing here and James and John over there. And he says, wow, they got tongues. I wish I could have tongues of fire like they got tongues of fire. And someone could say, but Peter, you do. It's like, what do you mean I do? I don't feel anything. And here's the reality, and I've noticed this, that I tend to far easier notice the gifts in other believers than I notice them in myself. This is why I need you and you need me, because we are the body. And the Spirit, according to the Word of God, do you believe that everyone has a gift? I do. The Bible says so. But noticing that gift, it's easier for me to notice it in you than to notice it in myself. And God has given spiritual eyes to your leaders that as mature men in the Lord, they can often spot something in you that you don't even know is there. You've got to trust them. I do. And so let's pray. And I'm going to actually, at this point, I feel the Lord wants to really call out some of these things and bring them. And Dylan, can I hand over to you guys and just how you sense to lead this? But yeah, we would love to pray for anyone or however.